maybe in a nursing home somewhere, but they're neglected. But it's also, as I see this, and my heart began to go out to a word that I want to mention today, and it's the title of my message, Neglect. And we see so much of that today because we know that a lot of time husbands neglect the wife in so many areas. And we know that wives also neglect their husbands in so many areas. And we know that so many children around the world today, and even in our community, that there are so many children that are neglected. And as we see on television, we see it's such a terrible a crime to neglect children in such a bad way. But God has a will, God has a plan for every one of us today. God, if he saved you, he's got a plan for you. If you want to be saved, you can be saved today. And he has a plan for you. And if you stay in the plan and in the will of God, you will not neglect these areas in your life. But I know that the families today is being neglected in so many ways. You know that our homes is being neglected in so many ways. And then when mothers and fathers and family members in our homes are neglected, we know that our churches is really suffering today because of neglect. But not only that, really our nation today is suffering because of neglect. And in these verses of Scripture, the answer to all these neglect is in these verses of Scriptures, and it's talking about our salvation. In these verses of Scriptures, it's talking about those that already are saved. It's your salvation, but you neglect it. You cannot neglect something that you do not have. We're already saved. But these verses of Scriptures tells us if we will not neglect this salvation, we will not worry about neglecting our mothers, our fathers, our children, our homes, our church, or our nation. But the very reason that there is neglect in these areas is because we have neglected the salvation that Jesus Christ came to this earth and paid for, that we may have life and have it more eternally and more abundantly here. So if we read these verses of Scriptures and understand all the aspects of salvation, and that's what I've been teaching on Wednesday night, is to thank the Lord for all the aspects of salvation. But we do not need to neglect this great plan of salvation. And we see it so much in our lives, in our children's lives. And I see so much neglect, and it's really sad to me to see mothers and fathers, and they're neglecting their children by not bringing them to the house of the Lord and see that they learn more about Jesus Christ. It seems to me that more that we want to learn about Jesus Christ, the more that we'll love Jesus Christ, the more that we love Jesus Christ, the more that we'll serve Jesus Christ. But whenever you separate yourself from the people of God, from the Word of God, and from the house of God, you will be out on your own, and you will not be in the will of the Lord, and you cannot grow and mature as a child of God, even though that you're saved. And you will neglect some areas in your life. It's vital and important to you. And it begins off with our family and our loved ones. So in Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 1 through 4, we'll see what he says about neglect. And in these verses of Scripture is the very answer to all the neglects in life. If we would just understand, if we would not neglect our salvation, we wouldn't have to worry about neglect in all the other areas in our life and our family members, our loved ones, our friends, our church, and even in our nation. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels will stand fast and evil transgressions and disobedience receive a just recompense of rewards, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witnesses, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank you for this beautiful day. Father, this day, it represents Mother's Day. And Father, how we know that you do not want us to neglect our mothers. Father, how we know that you don't want us to neglect any areas, Father, of our life and our families. But Father, if we could just come to the understanding here this day, these just few words, Lord, been spoken of by the word of God, that we would not neglect so great a plan of salvation. Oh, we thank you, Father, for what you've done 2,000 years ago, how that you was willing to die to make this plan possible for every one of us today. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Father, help us not to neglect what you have given us as a gift. It's so vital for each and every one of us today. How, Father, that you have loved us. And how, Father, that you have brought families together. You give life to each one of us, life to our family. And, Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this great plan of salvation. But how so many times we just neglect it. We don't grow. And, Father, we don't show this great salvation, Lord, that you have given us. Lord, we know that one day that we will be ashamed as we stand before you for the things we have not done in this life and how we have neglected the great opportunities that we've had here in this life. So, Father, help us this day to understand, not to neglect this great plan of salvation, Lord, that you have given us. And, Father, for the great things you give us this day. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. The book of Hebrews presents to us one of the most exalting, most beautiful picture about Jesus Christ in the Bible. And the purpose of the book, it challenges us Christians, and it's wrote to Christians, it challenges us Christians to go on and grow into maturity. Now, there's nobody perfect, but God says for us to grow into maturity. It's written to Christians here have not grown in grace and knowledge as they should. And we probably all fit in that category in some areas of our life that we have not all been able to grow in grace and knowledge as we should. But from the time that God enters into your heart by that new relationship through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, there begins a growth take place. You are a new creature. You have been born again. You are a new person. Old things must pass away and new things begins in your life. And what Jesus Christ has done by the Holy Spirit of God and the Word is for us to continuously to grow. But sometimes we stay in this kindergarten stage of life when we should be graduates. And it's just telling us to get up and go on and mature and not to neglect this salvation that God has given us. As we look at this and we see this salvation, is your relationship to Jesus Christ, is it getting sweeter every day? Every day with Jesus Christ, is it sweeter than the day before? That's growing in grace and knowledge. Is it causing you to understand what Jesus Christ has really done for us? Maturity, you know, it takes discipline. It takes time. It takes commitment. And it takes sacrifice. What kind of Christian do you want to be today? What kind of Christian are you really today? You know, God can grow a mushroom overnight. It takes him sometimes 100 years to grow a mighty oak tree. But you know, it's your choice today which one you should choose. Do you want to be a mighty oak or do you want to be a mushroom? To be a mushroom, we know that you're just electing the salvation. In these verses of scriptures, I know that you've heard many times, sometimes it's an evangelistic sermon that you might hear that you need this salvation, and we all do, but it applies here to the saints and not to the sinners today because it's something that we already have. Now, we will not neglect our mothers and our fathers and our brothers and our sisters and our families and our churches, and we will not neglect ourselves. If we do this, we'll understand this and the cost of salvation. If we understand the cost of salvation, we will not have neglect in these areas of our life. It's very vital to us as human beings here on this earth. It's very vital that you have a good relationship to your mother and your father and your family. It's very vital that we have a relationship with our sons and daughters and our grandparents and our grandkids. It's very vital that we have a relationship with our church and the people of our church because you need a support group. Let me tell you, you need Sunday school today. You say, well, I can get along without Sunday school. Sunday school is one of the greatest supports that you need as a human being as you grow in this life we're living today. You need a support group, whether you think you do or not, you need to come to Sunday school for that support group. We have a support group on here on Wednesday night. But this cost of salvation, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? Great of salvation because of its cost. In 1 Peter 1:18, it says, "For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but from vain conversation received by the traditions of your father." God the Father thought of this way back before the foundations of this earth about salvation plan. It says in verse 3 again, "Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord was confirmed unto us by them that heard him." Salvation was in the mind of our Father God. Nothing that mankind thought of itself. It's in God the Father. For all eternity past, he thought about this. God the Father. But you see, man could not have thought about salvation. He could not have planned salvation. All man's schemes. Of course, today many people say, you know, that everybody's going to heaven. You ever find anybody that's lost and say, "Yeah, that I know good and well that I'm going to hell"? Most people know, thinks they're going to heaven today. I mean, they think they're pretty good people. I mean, I'm as good as anybody else down in that church or anywhere else, and they think that I'm good. Everybody's going to heaven. But the Bible says there's a wide road that leads to destruction, and many be there that go in thereat. And it also says there's a narrow road that goes to eternal life, and very few that finds that. But I'm going to tell you, everybody's not going to heaven. But you see, salvation was through the Father of God, but also was brought by the Son of God. Verse 9, it says in the same chapter, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." As we see this, God left all these riches, and he left heaven to come down to this earth. And with his royal blood, Jesus died on the cross. It says that song, "When I survey the wonders of the cross." You need to survey the wonders of the cross today and see what Christ has done for you. Ephesians 3:17, it says that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. When I survey the wonders of the cross, what Christ has done for me, it's beginning to be on my mind every day as I begin to pray every day and I think about the aspects of salvation. Whenever I get to think what Christ really have done for me 2,000 years ago when I accept Jesus Christ, what Christ has done for me. You see, I'm not the person that I used to be, because the power of salvation changes people. It is a salvation plan that God made for mankind. The song goes, "When I survey the wonders of the cross." When you survey the wonders of the cross and you begin to think and see the cross of Calvary, when you begin to see the head of Jesus Christ and how it was crowned with thorns and his head was bruised and bleeding, and then you can write the height of God's love on the head of Jesus Christ. When you go to feet of Jesus Christ at that cross of Calvary and you see the nail prints in Jesus' feet, those feet were blessed feet that never walked the roads of sin as you and I have walked today. But they walked a pure path and never sinned, never walked a path to sin. But you see, we sin today, and you can see the feet of Jesus Christ, and that's the depth of God's love. You can go to the left hand of the cross, and you might see the pain of the nail scars, the quivering hand, and you might say the length of God's love of that nail scarred hand of Jesus. But on the right hand of the power of God on high, it says on the right hand on the cross, that hand that dipped into the sea of eternity and made a way for us today. And you might write there the breadth of salvation and how God loved us today. When I survey the wonders of the cross. Blessed Redeemer, it says, you know, precious Redeemer. Seems now that I can see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners, pleading, blighted, unheeding, and dying for me. If you wonder about the cross, what Jesus Christ done for you, go to the head and go to the feet and go to the hands of Jesus Christ. When we look at the cost of salvation, I tell you what, this neglect that we have in our areas, I tell you, will just melt away. We got more neglect in our life today than we've ever had before. There are more neglect in homes than there have ever been before. I tell you, we got bigger homes than we've ever had, but you see, we got more neglect in those homes than we ever have. I mean, think we got greater things in our nation than we ever had, but we got more neglect in our nation than we ever had before. All the things that this world has given us, but yet we have more to lick. Because why we have? Because we have neglected the very plan of salvation. We have neglected our salvation that God has freely given us this day. And this neglect brings on a lot of consequences in our life. And I tell you, it says in Hebrews 2:9 that I read, Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with the glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. I often wondered about that verse of scripture when I began to read and study the word of God, that Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels. And how could Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be made a little lower than the angels? The angels, I understand that they never have died. None of them have never died. It says in these verses of scripture, if I just read on, it says, because he was made this way to die. No angel has never died. One third of the host of the angels left with old Lucifer when he left heaven. Whenever God kicked him out, one third of the angels went with him. But you see, they're still in existence. They are fallen demons today that we call them today. But you see, they still exist somewhere. Far as we know, the angel cannot die. An angel cannot die, but Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angel because it said that he was made lower than the angel that you might taste death for every mankind. I mean the whole world from time of Adam till time there'll be no more that he tasted death for every man, every mankind. So today, as I understand this, why he was made a little lower because he died on the cross and he tasted death for me. You see, that the angels don't know what it is to die. The angels don't know what it is to be redeemed. You and I today knows exactly what it means to be redeemed. If you're here today and you are redeemed, if you're not, you can be redeemed before you leave here. But the angels don't understand it. They never did taste death. But Jesus Christ, it says, you know what? He tasted death for every mankind. He tasted death for me. You know what? He was separated from God. He was separated from God. As you think about this salvation so great, and we think about the cost of this salvation and this delay of this salvation. And yet it was so great. Oh, spiritual man. Oh, sinful man. You see, whenever they was born again, they was born as a new nature. You see, the broken homes by what Christ done has brought homes back together again. Wars have been ceased because of the power of Jesus Christ and this great plan of salvation. The taste death for every man. He tasted death for me. You see, while he was on that cross of Calvary, he died for me. When he was on the cross of Calvary, he died for you. You see, there was separation. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Forsaken my God, that you, mankind, would never have to be forsaken by God. Oh, how great a salvation plan do we have. Now think about this. The people today, they want God to leave them alone. They don't want no part of God's house, no part of God's people, no part of anything of God. They want God to leave them alone. How wrong they are. If God ever leaves them alone, the separation without God is one part of hell itself, to be without God. But yet God says, you know, I put my son on the cross of Calvary, that he was separated from me. I turned my back because I made him sin for the whole world that knew no sin, and I turned my back on my own son. Yes, he knows what it was to be separated from God. For that few minutes he was separated from God, that I myself will never know the loneliness, and you will never know the loneliness of separation from God. Oh, how great a plan. Oh, the cost of salvation today. Oh, but we have so much neglect today. There's so much neglect in our salvation today. I don't know who's saved, who's not saved, but I can say one thing. There's a lot of neglect in salvation today. Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, power, things present or things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. This sort of calls you to never want to be separated again from God's people, God's house, from the things of God. It ought to cause you not to want to neglect in any area of your life. Because you see, when you neglect that great salvation, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to cost you problems. It's going to cost you problems. God has made everything for us to understand so great. That is why that he'd done this for us. He died for us this day. There's so much of this neglect this day, and he died for the mankind today. There's so much neglect. If you just go into a hospital and you see neglect, and you go into a nursing home and you see neglect. There's so much neglect today. But I'm going to tell you, there's so great, it's the onlyest thing that will do when we are dying. As I've said, I've been by the bedside of many people that died and took their last breath. And I'm going to tell you, this salvation that God has brought, the cost that he paid for Calvary's cross, it's the onlyest thing that would do you when you going to die. When you go to die, it's the only thing that's going to do. Don't neglect this salvation. It's so great, it will unlock the gates of heaven and lock the gates of hell for you. It's so great. Why would anybody want to let anything that's so good? All the cost of our salvation. But the care of our salvation, it brings on another note. How shall we escape if we neglect, not reject, so great of salvation? There's a salvation in the past, there's a salvation in the present, and there's salvation in the future, as we all know. That past means we were redeemed from the penalty of sin 2,000 years ago. When I accept Christ, it went back 2,000 years ago. That's my past. I don't have to worry about that past of redemption because of the penalty of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you accept Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about penalty of sin no more. The penalty of sin is hell. The penalty of sin is death eternally. But I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about going to hell. You say you think you're pretty good, don't you, preacher? No, sir, I'm not good at all. Jesus. Jesus is the reason. It's Jesus. It locks the door of hell and unlocks the door of heaven. You see, if you're saved today, you can't go to hell. If you're saved today, you can't go to hell. If you're saved today, you're going to heaven. Because it's so great. It took care of the past because of the penalty of sin. It takes care of our present, redemption from the very power of sin. You see, I don't have to sin. Oh, yeah, we'll say, you know, we're going to sin. Yep, we probably will. Is any of us in here perfect? Nope, we'll probably sin tomorrow. Might sin today. Some other area, you see, we all of us have that old fallen nature still in our old bodies. Y'all know that? We still have the pull of that fallen nature. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus Christ done on the cross of Calvary. He made it possible that I don't never have to sin again. And you don't never have to sin again. The reason we do, because we yield to the fallen nature of mankind. And don't claim the power that God has already given us. We don't have to sin today. We'll, yes, because of who we are. And because we are the weak. You see, redeemed from the very power of sin. But you see, in the future, we're going to be redeemed from the very presence of sin. That's justification in the past, that's sanctification right in the present, and that's glorification in the future that God has done. That's so great a salvation. It says, if we, talking about the saved, neglect, talking to the believers, neglect. We already possess something which we may neglect. Justification must be followed by sanctification. That's each day growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Salvation is a gift. Romans 6:20. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift, but it must be carried with a responsibility. Must be carried with a responsibility. Every time somebody gives you a gift, there's a responsibility that goes with it. I know that we're living in a farming community, and in my lifetime, I really wanted a farm. And I know that fathers sometimes, family, have give a son a whole farm free in charge and give him a farm to farm like he wanted to. And you know what? I've seen time and time again, he neglected that farm and lost the farm. It was gave to him as a gift, and he lost the farm because he would not work the farm. Several times. Well, you see, salvation is a gift. You don't have to worry about losing your gift of salvation, but you lose rewards at harvest time come. Because you see, every one of us in here is going to a harvest time. This salvation, we're going to a harvest time. The judgment is coming for each and every one of us today. Judgment on the basis of what we have done with the opportunities and responsibility that God has given you. In this great salvation plan. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things have been made new. God wants your salvation to grow each day and every day. Oh, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Discipline. I know that a lot of us got children, and sometimes our children wants a special gift or they want something, and we know that it's very expensive and maybe it costs too much, and they keep asking for it and asking for it, and you want them to have it, and you know, they keep asking for it, and you put them off, and after a while you see you maybe get enough of money and you sacrifice for this gift, and you buy your child that gift. And after a few weeks or month, and you may see that gift, maybe it might be laying out there in the yard in the rain. They may not be taking care of that gift, and how it makes you kind of mad, and how they don't take care of that gift, and how you sacrifice for that gift, and you give them that gift, but yet after a while, they don't take care of that gift any longer. Well, that's kind of the way it is, you know, of salvation. God has given it to us, but you see, we don't take care of it. There's weeds that grows up into our life, just like a garden with thistles and weeds in a garden of our Christianity. And they're not much fruit. How long have you been saved, and how much progress have you made in your salvation? How much progress have you made in your salvation? Have you grown to when that you want to do more and more for the Lord? Have you grown to where you cannot hardly wait to get back on Sunday night? Have you grown that you want to be with God's people, that you might even come to Sunday school and you might come to prayer meeting and pray? Are you growing to be with God's people and just learn a little bit more about Jesus Christ? Have you learned a little bit more about Jesus Christ? When we backslide and neglect our salvation, did you know what suffers? The church suffers. Our family suffers. May the 5th, Thursday, was National Day of Prayer, to pray for our nation. Did you want to know the biggest thing that's causing our nation to suffer than anything else? It's the neglect of Christians today to their duty as a Christian. We pray for our nation and expect God to bless us. How are you doing in your Christian life? Are you growing? Is every day with Jesus sweeter than the day before? The greatest neglect we have in our nation is because Christians are neglected and their duty is being a Christian. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not for you to be ignorant how that all of all fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drunk of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." It says all done this, and all baptized, all drunk, all done this. We all members, we all saved. But then it says God was not well pleased with many of them. Is there a person sitting in this building today, and you think God is not well pleased with you? It says they was overthrown in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place where they mumber and they're defeated and they're wandering in the wilderness. There's out of Egypt, but they're in the wilderness where there was no joy and there was no testimony. As a lot of people today got one foot in the church and the other foot in the world, and you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. God don't want you just an hour on Sunday morning occasionally. But God wants your life. God wants your life, not just an hour occasionally. The consequences of neglecting our salvation. Back to verse 2 and 3 that I read to start with. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every translation, every transgression and disobedient received just recompense of rewards, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation?" Because there are account coming in your life, and I can assure you of that right now by the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 tells us, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." There's rewards and there are also losses. 1 Corinthians 3 and 13 says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall every man's work of that sort of it. If any man's work abide, which is built thereon, it shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet such as by fire, going to heaven with our coattails on fire." We will escape hell, but we will not escape the disapproval of God. 1 John 2 and 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Won't it be sad to be ashamed when Jesus Christ appeared? You know he's coming for you. If he don't come for the whole church soon, he's going to make a solo flight for every one of you. And the day will be over, and you'll be standing then, and you'll give an account of that salvation that God had given you with a gift, and see how that you've done and of that salvation. Everybody, and all this neglect that we have done, you neglect your church, you neglect your family, you neglect your reading of your Bible, all this neglect, I'm telling you what, is going to take place. Everybody. You see, as we think about this, when he's going to come, it says two ways we can be: looking for it or looking at it. There are going to be some weddings around this church before long. And when they do, you see, the church and also the people around us, we're looking at it, at the weddings that's going to be here. But there's a difference. The bride is looking for it. You see, a lot of people might be looking at the coming of Jesus Christ, but those already are looking for it. "Unto them that are looking for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." What would he find today if he come for you? This was your last moment on earth. I wonder if he'd find neglect in your life. I wonder if he'd find neglect in your children. And I'm going to tell you, it is so sad today to know that mothers and fathers, if they are saved, which they say they are, neglect to bring their children to the house of God and let them know that Jesus Christ is number one and far and foremost of anything else. He is number one. Salvation is of the Lord. And to teach your children that they must know that they love Jesus Christ. And I tell you, you'll never go wrong. Have you accepted Jesus Christ this morning? Have you neglected some areas of serving Jesus Christ that you need to get right with God? You haven't always been where you ought to be with Jesus Christ. There's been many areas a lot of people used to teach. They used to do this, they used to do that, but they don't do it anymore. There's a lot of you out here right now that need to be in positions you're not in positions that you should be. A lot of you ought to be supporting a lot of areas of this church that you're not supporting. There's a lot of neglect that goes along for every one of us, including me. There's some neglect, including me, some areas of my life, some things that I don't do either. You see, there are none of us, I said, perfect, and that certainly includes me. Because the more that you know about the Word of God, the more that God is going to hold you responsible. And you say, "Well, I better not read the Word of God because I already know more than I can do." It's too late. You already know that you need to read the Word of God. It's too late. I'd like to ask you this day, if God has put something on your heart that you need to do it. If you have salvation, you won't lose it. But I tell you what, you'll lose your rewards, you'll lose your testimony, and you'll lose your joy. There's nothing better than Father Jesus Christ and his plan for you, because he's got a plan for you to walk in. And that plan is the greatest plan in your life could ever be. I'm asking you today, as God has spoken to you, and you're not doing what you should do. There's been many times, I've heard so many excuses of not coming. You must not know how many books I could write on excuses for people who couldn't come to church. But you see, they don't have to tell me, because God knows when people wants to come, and God knows when people don't want to come. And a lot of time people wants to and can't, but there's a lot of time when people can and they don't want to. And I'm going to tell you, you need to bring a blessing. You say, "I didn't get nothing out of it." Well, you ought to bring something with you. If I'm not preaching the way you ought to, I'm going to tell you, you ought to pray for me harder. You ought to pray for me harder, or pray me out of the pulpit and get somebody else that can. But I tell you, are you doing what God has called you to do? As we come and stand for a song of invitation,